But at the Good Friday service, we talked about the horrible death that Jesus had to suffer on the cross. And we all know that it didn't end there. We were all looking for Sunday. But Pilate allowed Jesus to be taken off the cross Friday night. He was given to Joseph of Arimathea, who took Jesus' body, wrapped it in grave clothes, and placed it in a tomb. There was a large stone rolled across the tomb. But that wasn't good enough for the religious leaders. They liked the large stone that was rolled across the tomb, but they wanted Pilate to seal that stone and put guards out there because they thought the disciples would come and steal the body. And so Pilate did that. Pilate sent soldiers, Roman soldiers, to guard the tomb, and he sealed it. And we all know what happened next. On Sunday morning, that first Easter Sunday, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. She found the big stone rolled away, and that the tomb was empty. Did the disciples come and steal the body? You can imagine how Mary felt. She knew the disciples hadn't stolen the body. But you can imagine she loved her Lord. And he was no longer on the cross. The cross was empty. The tomb was empty. And Mary's life is completely empty. Mary might have thought, what good is an empty cross? What good is an empty tomb? What good is my life? It's empty. There's nothing there. This morning, I'd like to look at those three questions so that we can see that sometimes good can come out of emptiness. So let's look at the first question. What good is an empty cross? Jesus was crucified, hung on the cross for 6 hours. He was in pain and agony. And then finally, after 6 hours, we hear the last words of Jesus in John chapter 19 and verse 30. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. While Jesus was on the cross, he said, "It was finished." What did he mean? What was finished? Did Jesus mean that he couldn't take it any longer and he'd just given up and it was finished? Did he mean that he knew he was going to die and he was about to die and that was it? His life was finished? No. We know. What Jesus meant was that his work, that the work he was to do on the cross was finished. Mankind had been separated from God because of all their sins, because of all their unrighteousness. And it's no different today. People try to make it right and think that all their good works that they can do will restore that relationship between them and God. But we know, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory. So it doesn't matter how good our good works are, they fall short. We can do all the good works and live what we think is a great life, and there's nothing wrong with those. But it will not be able to pay for the sin that we have committed. For the wages of sin is death. Jesus died on the cross to pay those wages, to pay that price, to pay mine and your sins, to pay for the sins of the world. He died on the cross that day. See, after Jesus said it was finished, it meant his work on the cross was finished. He paid for the price of the sin of all mankind so that men and women and children could put their faith in him and restore their relationship with their heavenly Father. We read in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, "For Christ died for sin once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." Jesus was taken down from the cross. The cross was empty. Jesus died for sin once for all. Jesus is not going back up on that cross. Never again. He paid the price for the sins of the past, for the sins of the present, for the sins of the future. He paid the price for all our sins. From the empty cross comes fullness to all who are willing to receive what Jesus did for them. See, in John 10:10, in the last half of the verse, it says, "I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." I mean, think about it. When my sin and my shame and my guilt is taken away, life takes on a totally different picture. It's gone. And he did that once for all. He doesn't have to go back up on the cross. Out of that empty cross, it brings fullness. The empty cross shows us that Christ's death on the cross was finished, never to be done again. So what about the second question? What good is an empty tomb? The Bible reveals that the disciples and some women went to the tomb that first Easter morning, and they found the tomb empty. Actually, Mary Magdalene thought someone had removed her Lord's body from the tomb. And we read in John that she stood outside of the tomb and she wept. When Jesus was alive, he declared that on the third day, he would be raised back to life. He was crucified on the cross, and the third day, he was raised back to life. The tomb was empty for a reason. The reason was not because someone had taken Jesus' body from the grave, from the tomb. When Jesus had already said that. You don't need to hear it twice. The tomb was empty because the Father had resurrected Jesus, never to die again. Jesus is alive. He is alive. He is risen. He's alive. He wasn't just alive that first Easter morning, but he's alive today. We read in Acts chapter 10, verse 40, Jesus raised him from the dead, God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. That's pretty cool. On the third day, he was raised from the dead, and people saw him. We're going to talk about that in a minute. The empty tomb declares that not even death could defeat our Savior and Lord. Not that big rock, not those Roman soldiers, not the seal on the tomb, not the spear in Jesus' side could defeat our Savior and Lord. Listen to the words of 1 Corinthians 15, 55 to 57. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He has given us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus took the victory away from death. It away. Satan thought he had defeated Jesus. He'd crucified him on a cross, he thought, and he'd put him in a tomb. Where, O death, is your victory? It holds no sting. You see, the empty tomb brings fullness. Because of the empty tomb, we don't have to fear death. When we pass from this life, we step into the fullness of eternity with our Savior and Lord. We're alive forevermore. It's not, oh, Cal's in the grave. Cal's dead. No, he's alive. He stepped from this life last Sunday into the presence of his Savior and Lord right then. He didn't have to wait. He didn't have to wait till the service on next week, on Saturday. He's alive now with his Savior and Lord. That is the fullness that comes from that empty tomb. Death has no sting. To die is gain. Really? Don't everybody die on me. Well, unless we're all... No, I'm not even going to go there. That sounds too drink the Kool-Aid thing. But death is the victory. We gain. We're with Jesus. There's no more suffering. There's no more pain. There's no more crying. The streets are lined with gold. You don't have to worry about your bank account. There's more money in the streets than you'll ever have. The empty tomb, the empty cross brings fullness. The empty tomb brings fullness. Not only did Mary find that cross empty and the tomb empty, but she found that her life was empty now as well. John 20, verse 11. Mary stood outside the tomb crying. She wept. She bent over and looked into the tomb. She didn't go in the tomb. She bent over and looked at that point. We read about the other disciples, Peter and John. They ran to the tomb when Mary told them it was empty. John arrived at the tomb first. He was faster than Peter. And he got there, but he didn't go in. And he bent down and he looked inside. Saw the grave clothes, saw the tomb was empty. He didn't go in. Why? He might have felt all hope was gone. My life is now empty. My Lord is gone. He's not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. He's gone. But their lives were only empty for a little while. It wasn't long before Jesus made himself known to each of them. Can you imagine the joy which probably flooded their souls when they saw Jesus? Listen to how it all unfolds. In John chapter 20, verse 14 to 16. At this, so we're talking, this is Mary. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni!" So Mary's at the tomb. She's weeping. She thinks Jesus is the gardener. And thinks that maybe he's removed the body. Jesus says her name. Jesus called her name out. They know the shepherd's voice. Mary knew right away when Jesus said, "Mary," that it was Jesus. And she said quietly, "Oh, Rabboni, it's so good to see you. I thought you were dead." No, that's not what it says. In Aramaic, she cried out. It was an exclamation of excitement. Jesus recognized Jesus, or Mary recognized Jesus. "Rabboni! Rabboni! Rabboni! My teacher! My teacher!" I can just imagine. I'm sure she had a hard time keeping her feet on the ground. And in her excitement, she turned and she ran, because John and Peter had gone back to the other disciples, and were told that she goes back and tells them, "Jesus is alive. He is alive. I saw him. He's risen from the grave." Mary, in her emptiness, continued to seek Jesus. As she did, Jesus revealed himself to her. Through the emptiness of her life, Mary found fullness through the power of the resurrection, through the power of the resurrected Jesus. What good is an empty life? Well, it drives us to seek fullness. I mean, when your life's empty, you want more. You don't state you're in. We see that in our world. What does our world do? What do the people do? When they're empty, what do? They go to drugs. They go to alcohol. They go to success. They go to relationships. They go for job promotions. Not to say that job promotions are bad. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying relationships. But if those are the main things, if those are what we're looking to fulfill our lives with, you'll still be empty. If you're only getting married to fulfill your life, you'll be empty. But if Jesus is the one you seek for fullness, then we'll be full. Because what did it say in John? "I've come that they may have life and have it to the full." Yeah. True fullness only comes when, as we seek for it in Jesus, as we allow his resurrection power to change us into who God wants us to be. Emptiness. Fullness comes from emptiness. We have an empty cross. We have an empty tomb. And if our lives are empty, well, we need to start seeking Jesus. And we'll see that the cross is empty. And the cross is empty for a reason. Because Jesus paid the price once for all for our sins. And if we come to him and confess our sins and ask him to be our Savior and make him Lord of our lives, we have fullness. And if we continue to seek Jesus, we'll see that the tomb is empty. Because of that, we have fullness, knowing that we too will rise again. We too have conquered death through Jesus. He conquered it. We get the rewards. And we have fullness. My wife hates that because I'll be up on a ladder and she'll say, "Be careful, you don't fall." And I said, "Well, worst case scenario is I fall and I die and I go to be with Jesus." No. She doesn't want that. But it's fullness. That is where fullness is. The question is, where are we, or who are we looking for the fullness in? Are we trying to fill our lives with the things of the world? Or are we looking for the fullness in Jesus?